te vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. On this 10th day of June 2010 in New Dwarka, Los Angeles, we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 19, The Island of Jambudweep, text number 7. Na janma nunam mahato nasaubhagam. Na janma nunam mahato nasaubhagam. Na van, na buddhir, na kritis, toshehetuhu. Na van, na buddhir, na kritis, toshehetu. Thar, yad, vithrishtan, apino, vanau kasash. Thar, yad, vithrishtan, apino, vanau kasash. Chakara, sakhe, bata, lakshmanagrajaha. Na janmanu nam mahato na saubhagam. Na van na buddhir na kritis toshehetuhu. Tayan vithrishtan apinova naukashas. Chakara sakye bata lakshmana grajaha. Na janmanu nam mahato na saubhagam. Na van na buddhi na kritishto shehetuhu. Tayandu shishtan apinova naukasash. Chakara sakye bata lakshmana grajaha. Sorry, it's a little irregular second line. It's nakritis, not nakritis. Nakritis. Please chant. It's na. According to this. Na janmanu nam mahato na saubhagam. Na van na buddhi na kritis toshehetuhu. Chakada sakye bata lakshmana grajaha. Na janmanu nam mahato na saubhagam. Navanna buddhi na kritishto shehetuhu. Tayan visrishtan apinova naukasash. Chakara sakye bata lakshmana grajaha. Na janmanu nam mahato na saubhagam. Navanna buddhi na kritishto shehetuhu. Tayan visrishtan apinova naukasash. Chakara sakye bata lakshmana grajaha. Ladies? Na janma nunam mahato na saumhagam. Na van na buddhi na kritishto shehetuhu. Tayan visishtan apinova naukasash. Chakara sakye bata lakshmana grajaha. Na, not, janma, birth in a very polished aristocratic family. Nunam, indeed, mahataha, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Na nor saubhagam, great fortune. Na nor vak, an elegant manner of speaking. Na nor buddhihi, sharpness of intelligence. Na not akritihi, features of the body. Toshehetuhu, the cause of pleasure to the Lord. Tai, by all those above mentioned qualities. Yat, because. Vithrishtan, rejected. Api, although. Naha, us. Vanaokasaha, the inhabitants of the forest. Chakara, accepted. Sakye, in friendship. Bata, alas. Lakshana agrajaha. Lord Sri Ramchandra, the elder brother of Lakshmana. I'm sorry, there's a misprint here. I was wondering. It says here in the book, Lakshana Agraja. Lakshmana Agraja should be. Sorry about that. Can we please turn all of the cell phones off? Thank you. Translation. One cannot establish a friendship with the Supreme Lord Ramachandra on the basis of material qualities such as one's birth in an aristocratic family, one's personal beauty, one's eloquence, one's sharp intelligence, or one's superior race or nation. None of these qualifications is actually a prerequisite for friendship with Lord Sri Ramachandra. Otherwise, how is it possible that although we, Hanuman is speaking, monkey, otherwise, how is it possible that although we, uncivilized inhabitants of the forest, have not taken noble births, although we have no physical beauty, and although we cannot speak like gentlemen, Lord Ramchandra has nevertheless accepted us as friends? Purport. In a prayer to Krishna expressing her feelings, Srimati Kunti Devi called him Akinchana Gochara. The prefix a means not, and Kinchana, something of this material world. One may be very proud of his prestigious position, material wealth, beauty, education, and so on, but although these are certainly good qualifications in material dealings, they are not necessary for achieving friendship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who possesses all these material qualities is expected to become a devotee, and when he actually does, the qualities are properly utilized. Those who are puffed up by a higher birth, wealth, education, and personal beauty, Janmaishwarya Shruta Shri, unfortunately do not care for developing Krishna consciousness. Nor does the Supreme Personality of Godhead care about all these material qualifications. The Supreme Lord is achieved by devotion. Bhaktya mam abhijanati. One's devotion and sincere desire to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead are the only qualifications. Rupa Goswami has also said that the price for achieving God's favor is simply one's sincere eagerness to have it. Laulyam ekam mulyam. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat it is said, Koladecha seva ker dakha bhagya sima brahma shiva kande yar dekiya mahima dane jane panditje krishna nahi pai kevala bhaktir vasa chaitanya gosai. Behold the great fortune of the devotee Koladecha. Lord Brahma and Shiva shed tears upon seeing his greatness. One cannot attain Lord Krishna by any amount of wealth, followers, or learning. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is controlled only by pure devotion. Close quote. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a very sincere devotee whose name was Koladecha Sridhar, and whose only business was to sell pots made of the skin of banana trees. Whatever income he had, he used 50% for the worship of Mother Ganges. And with the other 50%, he provided for his necessities. On the whole, he was so very poor that he lived in a cottage that had a broken roof with many holes in it. He could not afford brass utensils, and therefore he drank water from an iron pot. Nevertheless, he was a great devotee of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is a typical example of how a poor man with no material possessions can become a most exalted devotee of the Lord. The conclusion is that one cannot attain the shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna or Sri Chaitanya Gosai through material opulence. That shelter is attainable only by pure devotional service. Anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karma janavratam anukulyena krishnanushilanam bhaktir uttama. One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. Om jnana timarandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshur unmilatam mena tasmai shri gurave namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto him and all members of Sri Parampara. So we're coming to the end now of the prayers by Hanuman in Jambudweep. This chapter is titled The Island of Jambudweep, but it's continuing for some time this theme from the previous chapter, the residents of Jambudweep offer prayers. So in this statement by Hanuman, who's offering his prayer to Lord Ramchandra, he states something that, a theme that comes up again and again in our books, in our Vedic literatures. And beginning with Bhagavad Gita, if you will, Bhakti Amama Vijanati Navanishchasmi Tattvadaha, that I can only be known in truth by devotional service. And when one knows me in that way, then he can enter into the kingdom of God. So, Srila Prabhupada quotes from Srimati Kunti Devi, this very important verse. I looked it up and read the purport also. And Janmai Shraya Shuta Shibir Edamana Madak Puman. This is the first statement. That one who is progressively, Edamana Madak means more and more intoxicated, more and more bewildered, by these four opulences, there's four categories here of things that people covet in this world. Janma, good birth in an aristocratic family. Aishwarya, wealth. Shuta, which is learning. And Shibir, physical beauty. These four, as Srila Prabhupada says, can often be impediments to devotional service. Which is why we find that since Ambarish Prabhu and maybe a couple others, not so many multimillionaires have joined this movement. Have you noticed? Of course, some are favorable. They may give some donations. But to really surrender everything, surrender one's life to Krishna, it's much harder if you have like $10-20 million in the bank. You're thinking that this is my shelter. See, people take shelter, they take help from these things, thinking that these are assets that will give me pleasure and fend off the difficulties of this world. So the rest of the verse says, "Naiva harti vidhatum vai." Those who are progressively intoxicated or too much bewildered by these things, they can't call out to the Lord in deep feeling. This word abhidhata means to address. Why is that? Because Krishna is akinchana gocharam. Akinchana gochara. He is approached. He is more easily accessible or accessible at all by those who have no sense of possessiveness in this world. Akinchana means nothing is mine, like niskinchana. Niskinchana Babaji's. The Babaji's are meant to be niskinchana. It means that they claim nothing as their own. And literally, you'll see they live a very, very austere life. The six Goswamis are really what we today would call Babaji's. You know, they didn't even have a home that they called their own. They lived under a different tree, what to speak of clothes. They took the rejected clothes around. They begged from each house, little bit, madhukari, means that you don't start depending on one person for food. You say, you take a little bit from each. Even if they're ready to give you 10 chapatis and a big subji, you only take one chapati and go to the next house. There's a principle to this madhukari. So, why is that? Why did they adopt such a austere lifestyle? And the answer is that they were showing an example, of course. Lord Chaitanya also, you know, took sannyas. He lived a very austere life. The sannyas ashram in general is meant to do that. Because this principle of being completely dependent on the Lord and recognizing everything as His property is more easy to maintain in one's life and shows an example when one literally has nothing. You see. Now we know that it's not absolutely necessary to have that. There are some very wealthy disciples of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Pundarik Vidyaniti is a great example, where he had great external wealth, but he was highly, highly advanced prema bhakti. We know the pastime where Gadadhar went to see him, and as soon as he saw the fan and heard some verses, he fell off his platform and went into ecstasy for hours and hours in love of God. So the point is, it's the akinchan of principle. It's the principle of feeling that nothing is mine. And that for those who have some wealth, to use it as far as possible in the service of the Lord. And only use what is absolutely necessary for oneself. And so Srila Prabhupada quotes this, or cites this example of Kolavecha Sridhar. Now he was literally very poor, but he was a householder. So he had to have some income. What to do? You know, oh, okay. Well, what's available? I can make some little pots out of these banana leaves and sell them. Well, you can imagine how much he was getting. Not so much income, right? But even with that, he was using half of it, the principle is there, half of it for the worship of Mother Ganges, devotional principle. And the other half he was somehow maintaining. He was very thin. It's almost like Sudama Vipra, the same principle. And so then Prabhupada mentions, you know, he couldn't afford a brass pot, you know, what to speak of stainless steel, you know, no refrigerator, you know, what we have. So he had his water in a little iron pot. But Lord Chaitanya came specifically to drink water of that out of that iron pot. You know, you can imagine, iron is not such a good container for water. I mean, get some rust in there, you know. But Lord Chaitanya drank it as the greatest nectar. Right? Just as he went to Raghunath Das Goswami when he was showing another example of extreme renunciation and detachment. And just eating the rejected rice, you know, the rice that had gone bad, because they prepare so many tons of rice, you know, of foodstuffs in Jagannath Puri. So not all of it could be taken, so some rice would be thrown out. The calves wouldn't eat, the cows wouldn't even eat it. It was so, you know, rotten. Raghunath Das, getting that, washing it and eating that rice, that was his sustenance. He was the example of the most extreme renunciation. So Lord Chaitanya, he went to get that rice. Well, he didn't care, you know, about the external quality. Only that this was, you know, Raghunath Das, what he was accepting as prasadam. He said, this is the greatest prasadam I've ever tasted. So the list here, the whole idea here is that Lord Ramachandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he responds to devotion. That's the only thing he doesn't have. He doesn't need our offerings, as opulent as they may be. He doesn't need them. He has that in Vaikuntha. He has it in Goloka. Trillions of times more than we can even imagine. So this effort of ours to deity worship and all of these externals, this is for our benefit. Krishna allows himself to be dressed in this way and to be offered, you know, they should be the finest foodstuffs, as good as we can possibly do. So that we can find a way of expressing our love. Love in the vacuum doesn't work. You know? Love, love, love. God is love. What does that mean? You know? Love must have a means of expression. The whole meaning, the whole existence of the spiritual world, all of the things there, you know, we read about Goloka Vrindavan and its replica Boma Vrindavan. There's so many things. There's so many living entities. There's the gopis and the friends and his parents, those who are on the level of the parents. There are also the trees, the land, you know, the very sky. Is all, they're all living entities, and they're all expressing their love for Krishna in their own special way, with their own rasa. You read the gopis are singing of Krishna, Venugit, and Yugalgit, 21 and 35, they parallel each other. And they're talking about not just the, you know, how the devas of wives, you know, they're hearing and they're coming down, they're hearing the flute sound. And the birds, different birds, you know, the lake-dwelling birds, they hear that flute sound, they come and they stop. You know, birds often make a racket. They stop and they just stand and they meditate, you know. But it's not just the birds and the animals and the cows and the deer. It's also the cloud, you know, which we normally think, well, it's an inanimate object. No, the cloud is also a devotee of Krishna and has its special service that it performs. It shades him from the sun, you know, and rains down these tiny little flower-like droplets of ice, you know, or cool water to cool Krishna in the heat of the sun. And it doesn't thunder because it's afraid of drowning out Krishna's flute. So it plays and boom, 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 you know, very, very softly, the thunder, and to accompany Krishna's flute. So everything has its own specific rasa, its own specific function in Krishna's lila, and it's all this expression of love, expression of loving devotion. So that's what Krishna wants. That's the one thing he doesn't have. You know, he has everything, right? But he doesn't have that. He doesn't have the loving devotion of the conditioned souls. And so he's greedy for that. And so this relationship has been broken by us, not by him. We've turned away and we've placed our devotion, you know, if you will, in the broadest sense, in the things of this world, the external energy. And we're looking for that rasa in all the wrong places. You know how this statement, you're looking for love in all the wrong places? So we're looking for that rasa in things that really can't reciprocate. Whether it's this body, whether it's things of this world, other people of this world, dogs, cats, movements, you know, whatever it may be, associations, in order to get some rasa, in order to get some taste of that association. And it's so frustrating because we place our hopes, we place our aspirations in these external things. The janma aishraya shuddha shribir, you know. If I just get an education, gotta get an education, and, you know, a college education, university, so I can get my degree, and I'll have a place in this world I won't be part of what we used to call, forgive me, lumpen proletariat. Does that phrase ring a bell? The lumpen proletariat. You know, the vast, unwashed mass of people who aren't educated, don't have some money and position, you know. So that's faith. That's endeavor. That's sacrifice. But it's all in the wrong direction. Because this material education, so-called, makes you more stupid than before. You think that you know. You think that you can understand what's what and what's important in life. But you know less. The simple, you know, high school student, you know, who was trying to, you know, what's it all about, and gets a book on the street, and isn't burdened by all of these fancy ideas and doubts and skepticism and whatever else you pick up in college, is better off. Can more easily take the knowledge as it is and enter into the house of devotional service. So that's why it said, there's this whole list here, that, you know, establishing friendship with the Lord. It's very nice, this word is used, sakye, because this is, after all, Hanuman. Now, Hanuman was in the mood of a servant, you know. But service, you know, there's a spectrum. You know, he was also acted as the greatest friend of the Lord. You know, a friend is also a great servant, isn't it? In other words, the greatest friends in Krishna Lila are better than the simple servants. So friendship and service, they have a close relationship there. So he's talking about friendship here. Chakara sakye vata lakshmanagraja. And if one wants to develop that friendship, then one needs to have the right approach. And it doesn't have anything to do with all of these material qualities. Personal beauty. You know? What is that personal beauty? You know, one of the first things you learn in Krishna consciousness, not the first, is that you're not that body. Right? You're not that body. Then you learn in detail what is the body. You know? As if we didn't know. This is a world of denial. You know, everyone's in denial, right? We're denying the actual nature of this physical body. in and out as itself. And you can easily see that nature and what a shock it is when someone dies suddenly, you know. And there was no expectation. Suddenly that same person who you're relating to, you know, as a person, is no longer a person. The personhood is gone. But the form is there. And what is that form? It's a bag of decomposing flesh with bones and blood and everything in it. It was always that. It was always that. Because of the presence of the life force, of the living entity, it looks alive and we relate to it as alive. So the whole thing is a big charade. We're trying to relate to Krishna through his external energy and through his shadow reflections, you know, 10 times removed, through other living beings, other human beings. You know, where does the idea, where does the whole phenomenon of attraction between man and woman come from? It comes from Radha Krishna. It's the Adi Rasa. And that's where our, you know, the form comes from and all of the relationships and all of the business is just a reflection of that original rasa. That's important to remember. Prabhupada puts it in at the beginning of his Bhagavatam, first canto, first couple of purports, you read them. And already he's talking about this Adi Ras. So, because this is the way that we can, with our a purified intelligence, embrace the principle of detachment. We have to embrace it. And that word is not, an accident. I mean, just as we, you know, embrace the things of this world, up to and including the members of the opposite sex, in an effort to enjoy, we need to embrace the goddess of detachment, because that opens up the channel to really develop our real relationship with the Supreme Personality of God and Krishna. Otherwise, if we're too intoxicated, too bewildered by these things, physical beauty, wealth, education, good birth. Who has good birth? We don't even know what that is anymore. But the last three, we definitely get intoxicated with. At least in the West, I'm talking about. Then we can call out to the Lord in deep feeling. You know, sometimes it's helpful to I find, and anyway, because our basic sadhana is, of course, chanting Hare Krishna, both in congregation and japa. So when chanting one's japa, how do we feel? How are we supposed to think? You know, Srila Prabhupada has told us we should chant as if we're a helpless child praying, calling out to its mother. So that helpless child is truly helpless. It doesn't have anything. It doesn't feel any other shelter than the mother. So to really adopt that mood is highly advanced. We should try to cultivate that. But sometimes it's not so easy. So sometimes you can try this next time. I find it's helpful. Visualize yourself chanting along, and okay, I'm in a plane. Airplane. Most of us have flown in this room. The plane suddenly acquires turbulence. Both engines go out. We're going down. You got, what, 30 seconds, 1 minute? What are you going to do? What are you going to think of? How are you going to chant at that point? That's how you can chant your rounds. That's really our situation, isn't it? Any moment, anything can happen. And if it doesn't happen this moment, it may happen tomorrow, the next day, next week, 10, 20 years from now. We're all facing the same thing. And there is no help at that time from Janmaishwarya Shribir. There's no help from the relatives, from the bank account, from the insurance policy, from anything else. The only help is from Krishna. So if we can somehow adopt that attitude before we're faced with the reality of being ripped out of this body, then we can begin to experience our real relationship with Krishna, which is reality, as we're dependent at every moment on Him. And only then can we advance to the point of really feeling friendship for the Lord. So this brings us up to the point of the preaching movement, the preaching aspect of this of Krishna consciousness. There's really these two channels, and it's reflected, or the archetype for it is Lord Chaitanya Himself. If you read when you read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you'll find right at the beginning there's a whole Mangala Charan, right? These auspicious verses that state give obeisances, blessings, and state the subject of the book. So it describes there Lord Chaitanya's external and internal reason for appearance, and there's whole chapters describing that, right, in the Adi Lila. So the external appearance. Is for spreading Krishna consciousness. the Sankirtan movement. And Arpita Charim Charat Karunaya Bhatirna Kalo is described that may this Supreme Personality of God, who has appeared as the son of Srimati Shachi Devi, be forever situated in the innermost chambers of your heart. Resplendent with the hue of molten gold, he has appeared in this age of Kali after a long time to bestow what no other incarnation has given before. The highest, most effulgent, splendid mellow of devotional service, the mellow of conjugal love. That's a very famous verse, right in the beginning there. It's actually from the Vidugdha Madhava, part of the Mangal Charan. He brought it in. So he goes on there, and then he explains also the internal reason. Shriyadhaya Pranaya Mahima Kida Shovanayaiva. These three reasons. He wanted to experience the glory of Srimati Radharani's love. His own qualities of beauty that she's experiencing through the lens of that love, if you will. And the happiness she feels, the ecstasy, the bliss that she's feeling from loving him in that relationship. So he needed to take the role and the mood of Radharani, even the complexion, you think, right? So these are two reasons. Now, the last 18 years, it was all internal. He stayed in Jagannath Puri, relishing these incredible, you know, varieties of mellows of highest conjugal ras and separation and meeting with Krishna, with his intimate associates, Ramananda Roy, Subhadamadar, and others. But the first 6 years of the sannyas, he was preaching. He traveled all over India, went to Vrindavan, and so forth. Now, those two aspects of Krishna consciousness are reflected right in this movement. After all, it's following the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so we have that also. We have our morning program. We have our internal aspect of Krishna consciousness, where we're cultivating our own sadhana, bhakti. And it's done most effectively, of course, in the association of devotees. This is why Srila Prabhupada was struggled so hard to found this institution and to set up temples and deity worship and ashrams and things where devotees could associate and become spiritually strong by following this program, the essential program, chanting together, Sankirtan, living in a holy place, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, anyone can come in here, but generally, it's almost 100% devotees who are sincere about hearing and advancing. Worshipping the deity, you know, and just being in the association of devotees. These five aspects are the essential practice of devotional service. That's the basis of the morning program. But then there's this whole aspect of preaching, right? Of going out, meeting the conditioned souls, Harinam Sankirtan, book distribution, prasadam distribution, all kinds of ways of cultivating people. Even getting on the internet and you know, corresponding, that's external, and that's preaching. So, they go together. They foster each other. And what the austerity of meeting the outsiders and going out is that it puts you in this position of helplessness. It's voluntarily, even though whatever you know you may have in terms of Janmashraya Shuddha Shibir, you voluntarily put yourself in a position where the success of the enterprise, in other words, pleasing Krishna and Lord Chaitanya and Srila Prabhupada, depends on your feeling that you really can't do it. That Krishna has to give you the words and give you the mood and give you the and send the people to really success. And so it helps in the chanting. In other words, then when you chant Hare Krishna in that mood of helpless supplication, then Krishna responds in the most wonderful way. And so the two aspects go together. If one just becomes a preacher and the sadhana is weak, then at a certain point you'll stop. If one only has the sadhana and doesn't want to do any preaching, then also that will not be successful. Because it's not in Prabhupada's line. It's not in the line of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So Srila Prabhupada, very, you know, the genius of organization, he set up this whole movement, and so much of it was started right here, you know, in 1970, with that long stay when the standards for deity worship, getting up early, right? Devotees have been going out on Sankirtan for, 8-10 hours a day, sometimes into the wee hours of the morning. All to the very good, it was very purifying. But Prabhupada knew that it couldn't be sustained, you know, and getting up at 6-7 in the morning. Naturally, if you get the better one, you get up at 6-7. That's good. You know, it's not good. You're meeting you're losing the Brahma Muhurta. You can't have deity worship going on like that. So Prabhupada changed that. You know, and we can't change it anymore. You know, that's it for ISKCON. That's the standard. Mangalarti. You know, Vrindanath Prabhu came and talked to me about his book on Mangalarti. Oh, why do we need a book on Mangalarti? Because not everybody understands the importance of Mangalarti. You know, Mangalarti is so significant because, it negates so much nonsense from the night before. That's one of the benefits. And it's so auspicious to be in front of the deities and to meditate on the spiritual master and to chant Hare Krishna. And then you're there. Then you're ready to chant japa at 5:15. Otherwise, you're sleeping in, you're chanting japa at 6:30. Chant. How good can the rounds really be? You know, it's very scientific. So Mangalartik is austerity. Coming on time every day to Mangalartik is an important austerity. You know, you're greeting the deities. The deities are seeing you also. The deities see you. When darshan, that doesn't mean you see the deities. It also means the deity sees you. And so, and for those who don't know, you know, we chant those eight verses, right? Gurvashtaka, those are well known. There's also a ninth verse, with the translation of which is given in the song book at the beginning. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur wrote this song. And it's that anyone who gets up early in the Brahma Muhurta hour sings this song, then basically goes back to Godhead. You know, that's the Palashruti. So, we should try to do that. We're going to go back to God. So the idea is that to develop our relationship with Krishna. That's what this verse is all about. To make friends with Krishna. Ultimately, to realize that He is our best friend. He's always the best friend, but we can't realize it unless we are approach Him in the proper way and are able to address Him in the proper way with a complete sense of helplessness. And, if you will, propertylessness, the fact that we don't have anything. The only thing we have is our desire to serve Krishna. And Prabhupada quotes from this verse, he attributes it to Rupa Goswami, and this is the origin of the phrase Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada explained. This verse, Krishna bhakti rasa bhavitamati kriyatam yadikatopi labhyate tatta laulyam api mulyam ekalam janma koti sukatayana labhyate. So this Krishna bhakti rasa bhavitamati means the mind absorbed in bhakti rasa, Krishna, right? That Prabhupada translates as Krishna consciousness. Is very valuable, and one should buy it as soon as you can, if you can purchase it. But you have to have the price. And what is the price? Laulyam, greed. Now in Upadeshami, we're enjoined to give up greed. Yes, give up greed for material things. But this means the greed for Krishna, the ardent desire, the uncontrollable obsessive desire for Krishna is good. And it has to be cultivated. But that's not so easy to come by. So it says, Janma Koti Sukhatai. Just as this verse explains, so many pious activities, you know, taking bath, studying the Vedas, doing this worship, that worship, if it's not directed to Krishna, then that's not going to get it. Billions, millions and millions of births of those are not going to give you that desire for Krishna. So what will is the process of surrender and adopting this, of regarding Krishna as the only source of protection and maintenance. That's the elements of surrender, two of the elements of surrender. Accepting those things that are favorable, rejecting those things that are unfavorable. That in itself can be a lifetime or a lifetime's project, isn't it? accepting everything that's favorable and rejecting everything that's unfavorable. It doesn't, you know, it's pretty obvious what those things are that we're still hanging on to that are unfavorable, or those things that we won't accept that are favorable. So that's part of surrender, really doing that. And rakshishatiti vishvaso, to be firmly convinced that Krishna will protect one. And we see all these great devotees who are often put through trials. We just had the Sringa Chaturdasi. What's the, you know, one of the lessons of Prahlad? That he had no other shelter besides Krishna. What other shelter could there be? Hiranyakashipu was running the universe. You know, all the demigods were replaced with demons. What other shelter could he possibly have? But he had the pure shelter. He had complete confidence in the protection, and he was protected. Now, sometimes that protection may not be so obvious because Krishna is putting us through some trials. But the measure of a devotee is that he never goes to any other shelter. Never goes there, even though it may be tempting, that he always feels it. And Goptatreya, they go together, that he will maintain. And we see here's so many poverty-stricken devotees of Krishna, great, great souls, Brahman Shiva bowing down to Kulavecha Sridhar. He didn't have 5 rupees a week. You know, what could he earn from that those pots? Practically nothing. But he's exalted. So these kind of, you know, we should study and see, you know, how we can refine, you know, our inner mood of Krishna consciousness. Because it ultimately boils down to consciousness. We always have to remember that we are trying to cultivate a state of consciousness. All of these externals are aids for that. They're helping us, you know. But ultimately, it's up to us to take in the principles in the books, apply them in our lives and in our surroundings, and in this way to create a certain state of consciousness in ourselves and help others to also come to that point of Krishna consciousness. That's the whole program right there. And nothing else will help. We can't rely on any externals. It has to be heartfelt. You can't hide from Krishna what the real state of our heart is. Hare Krishna. So, it's a little later. Does anyone have any comments or questions on these few points? Before I say yes, can we activate that little thing? Because there might be someone listening. I don't know. Is this an internet, live internet stream or not? Hare Krishna. Shastra Prabhu.
Thank you for Shastra the wonderful Krishna. Class, Prabhu. The prerequisite you were talking about to call out Krishna's names, Akinchana, Gochara, like Sura Prabhu was explaining in his class yesterday, that there's a prayer, Prahlad Maharaj prayed to Narsingh that if you want to give me some benediction, then remove all material desires from my heart. And the devotee that was praying, all kinds of bad things started happening, so they all stopped praying.
Yeah.
So we're kind of afraid, and we don't see it as Krishna's mercy. We're like scared to lose these things. So what is our position like?
Karma Mishra Bhakta. The bhakti can be diluted. You know, it's very nicely explained by Lord Kapila Dev that bhakti can also be done in the mood of material desires, to one degree or another. It's a spectrum. And, you know, one of the prayers in that regard of Kunti Devi, it's an advanced prayer that I personally, to be honest, am afraid of uttering, at least too much. Vipadak santa daksha shvat tatta tatta jagad guru bhavadu darshanang yaksadapana bhavadarshanam. She's recounting, you know, the life of the Pandavas. If you study the Mahabharata, it was really kind of, you know, something that one would not, you know, spontaneously embrace, you know, to be threatened with death, you know, from their childhood. You know, the Duryodhana and his brothers are trying to kill Bhima and the others from childhood. You know, the poison cake, throwing them off a cliff, fire, burning them alive, you know, threatened with all these things, exile to the forest, no, you know, fighting the demons, Hidimbi and all, Hidimba, you know, all these dangers, plus the ongoing conspiracy. And finally, the war itself, in which they were outnumbered, you know. So she's recounting that, you know. Here, finally, she's in Dwarka. She's in Hastinapur, and the battle has been won. Yudhishthira is finally on the throne, and she's recounting a few of those. And then she says, in a truly, you know, earth-shattering, jaw-dropping prayer, "Let them happen again and again." Why? Precisely for this reason that we've been talking about. Because in a dangerous situation, the devotees call out to Krishna in complete helplessness. And by that calling out, immediately Krishna responds, Bhavadu darshanam yaksad. We will see you, and by seeing you, we won't have to see birth and death again. Very poetic. Bhavadu darshanam yaksad apunar bhava darshanam. We will not have to again see bhava, birth and death. So, but to have that presence of mind, to have that fortitude, to really pray, as this gentleman prayed, as you say, let me be, free of all his material desires. I mean, you can, the more famous prayer, I mean, that's a great prayer, it's wonderful. But in the fifth canto, we're coming up on it, where prayer to Nrisimhadeva, or maybe you had it. Om Namo Bhagavate Narasinghaya, Namaste Jas Tejase, Avadavir Bhava Vadhanaka Vadvidangstra Karma Shayan, Randaya Randaya Tamo Grasa Grasa, Om Swaha, Abhyam Abhyam Atmani Bhuhishta Om Shraum. This is a prayer to Nrisimhadeva by Prahlad. And Prabhupada says in the purport, I remember working on this very chapter across the street in 1975. And I got to edit these, most of these prayers here. So if there's any mistakes, it's my fault. Prabhupada says at the end of that purport, any devotee who wants to be free of material desires should pray to Lord Nrisimhadeva as Prahlad prays in this verse. It's actually a prose passage. There's the instructions. So, I immediately memorized it. Many devotees memorize it. It's the same idea. Om Namo Bhagavate Na, all praises to you, Lord Nrisimhadeva, with your thunderbolt-like teeth and claws, please rip out the material desires in my heart. And he keeps repeating, so it's a high emotion. You know, Randaya Randaya Tamo Grasa Grasa, and please dissipate the darkness in my heart, which is part of this illusion of desire. And give me fearlessness by being manifest in my heart. So the two go together. When we are, we're taking the shelter of material things and material desires, that's the platform of fear. Right? Because you're placing your faith in the temporary. So if the material desires are there and the only desire is for Krishna, then one can truly be fearless in this world. Because Krishna is the rock of ages, as it says in the Bible. It can't be, broken. So for ourselves, how do we come to the point of praying like that? Right? Because that's part of the Hare Krishna prayer. If you're praying, please engage me in your service, it means please end my service to the matter. The two go together. So the more sincere you are in not serving matter anymore, the more you're sincere will be your prayer in, as you chant your rounds, to really be engaged in Krishna service. So it can only come through hearing the Shastra and associating with great souls who are on that platform. Reading Prabhupada's life. Prabhupada is the most inspiring of all the great souls we have. And we have so many details of how he, was fearless, Abhay Charanaravinda, from childhood. That's a perfect name. In coming to America, just casting it, save me or kill me, whatever it is, I'm going to try to do this. And he was perfectly protected and exalted by his example. So that's inspiration for us to jump off the cliff. It's kind of like, save me or not, I'm going to take shelter of Krishna. Kind of joining Hare Krishna, at least in the old days, was like that. You give everything, you're dependent completely for your, maintenance on Krishna. And, that's the essence of this movement, what it's all about. Okay, it's kind of late. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hari Hari Bo. Hare Krishna, thank you for coming. Thank you for coming.
And have this garland?
Not falling asleep, huh? You can have it. Thank you. Satam prasangam.
I should have said that. I was getting curious.